The passage that we read today on the great feast of Pentecost from St. John's Gospel took place not at Pentecost, but at the Last Supper, when our Lord ordained the first priests, instituted the Eucharist, and prepared himself and his apostles for his suffering, death, and resurrection. It was at this moment, as he was going to the Father through the veil of death, that he again promised the coming of the Holy Ghost and reminded them, the apostles, that when the Holy Ghost came, he would remind them of the things he was saying at that moment. So our Lord was talking to the apostles and preparing them for his suffering and death. And yet he knew that they would forget, and that at a later time, the Holy Spirit would have to come and remind them. That's why he said, "I'm not going to bother to tell you certain things. I will not now speak many things with you, for the prince of this world cometh, and in me he hath not anything." He knew that the apostles were to be overcome, and that later on they would have to be strengthened. But he left them with these memories. What our Lord did the night before he died was institute a sacred memory that would be more than a memory. It would be something that brings the presence of Christ and his sacrifice and his resurrection into our present through the power of the Holy Spirit. Remember that at Mass, before the consecration and the Eastern Rite, it's different, but there is this intersection of the words of institution, our Lord's words at the consecration, and the coming of the Holy Spirit when the priest puts his hands over the gifts. That is a symbol of the descent of the Holy Spirit. And it's the Spirit of God that brings our Lord down upon our altars. And this is what the Spirit does in our lives now, that our Lord has ascended into heaven and we no longer see him and speak to him the way the apostles did before his ascension into heaven. The Holy Spirit brings Christ into our lives. He brings us Jesus through the sacraments, through the presence of Christ, especially in the Holy Eucharist. And today we celebrate the Holy Spirit and his coming, and we pray for his continued renewal of the church and of each of us. We pray for the continual coming of the Holy Spirit. We pray that each day will be Pentecost, in a sense, that each day will be a transformation and renewal of the church. We all pray for the presence of the Holy Spirit. We all desire to have a Pentecost experience where we find ourselves taken out of our mundane and weakness, mundane existence, and our weakness, and are emboldened and enlivened with the fire of the Holy Spirit, as the apostles were when the Holy Spirit descended on them, and the courage by which they not only spoke boldly the truth of Christ, but by which they were willing to suffer all things for his name. And this is an ongoing task of the Holy Spirit in our lives, and of Christ as well. Our Lord started it by speaking about his suffering and death and preparing the apostles for the work that they were to carry out after he was gone. And that was going to be to speak in his name, but it was also going to be priests, those who offer sacrifice in his name, those who offer themselves in union with him for the conversion and sanctification of souls. So he talked to them about his passion, death, and resurrection. He even prepared them beforehand with the transfiguration on Mount Tabor, he brought his three closest friends with him onto Mount Tabor. And there, our Lord was transfigured before them in a scene which is in some ways similar to what happened on Pentecost Sunday. Peter was able to see our Lord transfigured and said, "It's good for us to be here, and why don't we just stay? Why don't we just stay here forever? We'll just build a tent for you and for Moses and Elijah, and we just won't come down." But as soon as St. Peter had said that, the light disappeared, and our Lord looked like he always did, and our Lord brought them down Mount Tabor into the Valley of Tears, where they and most of us spend the majority of our lives. And while our Lord prepared them in that extraordinary manner and then explained everything to them many times, and in a particular way on the night before he died, when he made them priests and instituted the Eucharist so that he was present with them in this sacramental way by which he already had become the food for their souls. Nevertheless, they didn't have what it took. They departed from our Lord, all except really St. John, who ran from the Garden of Gethsemane, but then went to our Blessed Mother and accompanied her to Calvary. And that was really the beginning of the transformation. The apostles would have to go to the Blessed Mother and allow her to take them to the cross. And so, as we pray and beg God for the transformation of our own hearts and souls, as we beg God for holy zeal and devotion, as we pray that we might see his face and enjoy the goodness of the Lord, the work of the Holy Spirit shows us that that real power from on high is that which strengthens us to profess our faith as the apostles did after Pentecost, with courage, with boldness, but also with a willingness to suffer and to die. We live in very, very difficult times, and we pray with St. John, "Come, Lord Jesus." We would like him to come and, you know, take care of business. In the end, we all know there will be justice, that the weak and the innocent will be vindicated and the wicked will be punished. And sometimes we would like to see that happen now, but we ought to be careful when we cry for justice, because what we really need is mercy. And we all need to enter into the mercy of Christ. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. He teaches us how to endure all things and to lift up our hearts in the midst of this veil of tears. Pentecost can't come unless Good Friday comes. And we can't expect every day to be a transfiguration, a Mount Tabor, or even a Pentecost. It doesn't happen that way all the time. What really happens is that God empowers us to suffer and to offer sacrifice. And more than anything else, that is what is necessary. We don't, you know, we have all kinds of things that we should do and ought to do. We need to, you know, have our Catholic press and our Catholic schools, and we need to have good preaching and all the rest. But that is only going to be useful if it brings about a renewal on the part of those who are truly fervent, and that means a willingness to enter into the work of Christ through sacrificial love, through suffering. That's the bottom line. Pentecost doesn't mean anything unless there is the suffering and death of our Lord. What the Holy Spirit does is bring us the merits of our Lord's redeeming love on the cross. The fire of the Holy Spirit is the fire that our Lord lit in the furnace of on Good Friday on the Mount of Calvary. That's where we see our Lord transfigured before us. The apostles didn't understand it, and sometimes we have a hard time understanding it as well. But nevertheless, that's precisely what we need to do. This is why, for example, experiences like the 20th century that we just ended a few years back with Our Lady of Fatima introducing, so to speak, the trials and tribulations of the church in 1917, was this kind of preparation for Pentecost. And yet what Our Lady asked there, more than anything else, was for generous souls to remain faithful and prayerful and to offer their lives in union with Christ as a sacrifice. And when the Holy Spirit comes to us in confirmation, that's precisely what we are strengthened to do. We all understand that when we are confirmed, we are being strengthened to practice our faith as adults. We are being strengthened to exercise our faith as soldiers for Christ. And it's not just about saying things or bearing public witness to Christ, as essential as that is. More than anything else, it's to imitate the Lord who redeemed us from the cross. So as we celebrate this Holy Eucharist, this sacrifice of the Mass on this Feast of Pentecost, let us remember these things. And as our Lord is called down onto the altar by the priest through the power of the Holy Spirit, let us ask that we also be transformed as we receive Holy Communion and be enlivened to profess our faith with courage and generosity.
Fructum ventris tuum.